To take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And I not ask you to stand. We've already stood several times. And just going to read one verse this morning and give you the message the Lord's put on my heart. And mind the Lord this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look with me in verse number 21. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." And I'm going to just take that one verse and give you the message the Lord put on my heart this morning. If I was to title it anything, I'd use just the first three words of that verse. He said, "By faith, Jacob." And so I want to preach to you for a few minutes on that thought of by faith, Jacob. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. I thank you for letting us be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to be saved. And Lord, for being able to be in church this morning. Lord, I thank you for your people, Lord, coming and, Lord, their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us for being in the house of God this morning. I pray that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to do everything you ask us to do. Lord, we know that being here is all about you. And Lord, you are worthy of our worship. Lord, you are worthy of our praise and our adoration. And Lord, everything we're doing, Lord, we're trying to do in faith and just trusting you. Lord, I pray that you would bless us and help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the giving that's been done, the good Sunday school hour, just all of it's been good. But Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now as we've come to this time of preaching. I pray that you would, Lord, speak in and through us. Lord, I pray that you'd take this message and drive it deep into the hearts of your people. And Lord, help us all to be what you want us to be. Help us to be more like you. Lord, we love you. You've been so good to us, done so much for us. And so I pray that, Lord, you would help us, God, to be what you want us to be. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this verse this morning, I'll just kind of remind you, probably everybody here maybe knows this already, but I'll remind you just in case. If you know much about the Word of God and have much history in the Bible, I think as pretty much everybody here does this morning, you probably know the 11th chapter of Hebrews is commonly known as the Hall of Faith. And matter of fact, the title above the chapter in my Bible calls it the hero, or says the heroes of faith. A lot of people call it the Hall of Faith. Here in this world and in this life, there's many Hall of Fames. You know, you think about that. Think about the different Hall of Fames, basketball Hall of Fame, and the baseball Hall of Fame, and football Hall of Fame. And I mean, probably every sport seems like has some sort of Hall of Fame. But when you think about it, those Hall of Fames, one of these days will come to naught. They will not last forever. All those names will be forgotten, and people won't even remember those people. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people in many Hall of Fames that no one even knows who they are now. And so those days just come and go, and normally it doesn't even take that long. Normally, just a few generations and people have forgotten already about all the accomplishments of somebody, be it in some athlete or in business or whatever it is, and that fame always goes away. But here we have in the Bible what many would call God's Hall of Faith. And these people are here not because of their accomplishments as far as in the flesh, the things that they were able to do, and the name they were able to make for themselves, but they are here because of one thing, and that is because of their faith. Not because of what they did, but really because of what God did through them. They were just empty vessels. Humanity is so different from that, isn't that right? Humanity is puffed up with himself, and he is, putting himself out there, putting his name out there, and therefore with his accomplishments of the things that he does. Everybody remembers him and recognizes him, but God's Hall of Faith is so different in that these people had actually emptied themselves and based themselves and and lowered themselves and submitted themselves to the hand of God. And so the hall of faith isn't as much about these people and what these people did. It's more about what God did through them and how God used them. And that's really the only thing that's good about any of us. Isn't that right? It's what God is able to do through us. The best thing about any of us, the only good thing about any of us is the Lord. Amen? And the best thing we could ever do is base ourselves. And that's the way it is in God's economy. The way up is down in God's economy, and the way down is up. Amen? And of course, we're living in a day of so much self-promotion, and people, you know, the only way it seems like, you know, the mentality today is that the only way to get ahead is to put yourself out there, you know, and promote yourself and promote what you can do and promote who you are and promote your name and your brand, they call it. Isn't that right? People brand themselves with themselves. Amen? And you know, it's really fallen into the church and really fallen definitely into among preachers. I don't know about you, but man, I just get tired of all the self-promotion among preachers. Amen? Starting these ministries and naming them after themselves and all these things. Listen, I would if I was ever to name a ministry after anything, it wouldn't be after me. Amen? Because listen, I am fallible. I'm the worst of the worst. And if any good would ever come out of a ministry, it'd be in spite of me, not because of me. Amen? And all of us are that way. Anything good that ever comes out of our lives, it's not because of us. It is in spite of us. It's because of Him and His mercy and His grace. Amen? And so we have God's hall of faith. All through this text, or all through this chapter, the notable characteristic, the common denominator between every person mentioned in this chapter is faith. Matter of fact, look in verse 11. He starts right out, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Then he goes right down listing the different men and women of faith. And it's always amazing to me how many different men and how many different women and how many different walks of life they're all from, yet they're all compiled into the same chapter together, and it's all because of their faith. And isn't that the way the church of the living God is? Isn't that the way the Lord saves everybody? How it's, you know, we're so many different people from so many different walks of life and so many different parts of society and so many different, you know, rungs on the social ladder, so to speak. Yet God saves our souls and brings all of us together and makes us one in Him. I mean, people whose lives and whose paths would never cross any other way. People who would never have anything to do with each other any other way except Jesus. Amen? And He saves us and He brings us together. In some way, somehow, God fixes it to where we're all closer with one another than even our own kinfolk a lot of time. Isn't that right? And that is what God does. That's what faith does. In verse 4, he says, "By faith, Abel." Amen? "By faith, Enoch," in verse number 5. Verse 7, "By faith, Noah." Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham." Verse 11, "Through faith, also Sarah." Verse 20, "By faith, Isaac." Verse 22, "By faith, Joseph." Verse 23, "By faith, Moses." Verse 24, "By faith, Moses." Verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." Amen? I mean, everything, all through the chapter, all the way down to the end, he speaks of Rahab and speaks of the others. He said that he doesn't even mention by name, but they're there. Amen? Listen, it's all by faith. And what we need to know as God's people, what we need to know as people as general, amen, is that anything eternal that will ever be done in our lives, any good thing, eternal work that will ever be done, it's going to be by faith. Because all the hall of fames the world has are going to burn up and be forgotten one of these days. But this record right here, this hall of faith, this record, Hebrews 11, it will stand forever. These individuals, when the earth has burnt up and when time has ended and we're over in the glory land, listen, this record will still stand. These people will never be forgotten because of their faith. It's all because of what God did through them. Now, in our verse this morning, he says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff." We're looking at one of these individuals this morning, just going to kind of lift out this verse. And I want us to think about the life of Jacob. I want to think about how God used him. I want to think about his faith this morning because, you know, first of all, Jacob was a man of faith. He's in the hall of faith. But, you know, when you examine his life, you go back to the Old Testament, you read the life of Jacob and study the life of Jacob, you'll find that he's here in Hebrews 11, he's a man of faith according to God, but that's also in spite of many failures. And I've kind of alluded to this already, but you know, anything that good that we do, it's not going to be because of us, it's going to be in spite of us. And Jacob was a man of faith and used greatly of God, but it was in spite of his failures. It was in spite of what he did wrong and where he messed up. Now, I just say this, thank God that he still uses us and he is still merciful and he's a gracious God and he still uses us and in spite of our mess ups and in spite of the times that we disappoint him. And I just want to take a second to remind you that if you have messed up and if you have disappointed God, if you have gone the wrong direction, if you have done things you know that angered God or disappointed God, if you've messed up, I want you to know this morning that God does still want you and God is still interested in you and God will still use you. Amen? I tell you, a lot of times we hear enough preaching and we get things in our mind, the devil in our flesh gets in our ear and gets in our mind to make us think that, man, you've messed up, you're done, you'll never be used again, you can never go back, you can never get right. But I want to remind you that God does want you and God is interested in you and you can go back and you can get right and you can serve God and you can be victorious. Listen, that can be had. Amen? And I think we've got a problem here in our independent Baptist church. I've heard enough preaching at camp meetings and things like that. I was just talking to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about a man that preached for him just within a few months, last few months ago, a well-known man that preaches a lot, man that probably all of us would know. And he's in the pulpit, and he's preaching, you know, and he's just really in a big way preaching. He's preaching a lot on alcohol, dealing on alcohol. And, of course, there's a lot of these cliche things that we say, you know. I didn't quit drinking, I just switched fountains, you know. And thank God for that, you know. Thank God that does happen. Thank God he'll save you from alcohol and he'll take the bottle out of your hand and he'll, you know, he'll change your life. Thank God that does happen when you get saved. And but a lot of times those things are preached as if, you know that victory is had right then. I get saved and man, I've got victory, and those things are never an issue in my life ever again. Preacher I was talking to said later the next day they were eating lunch, and over the table they were talking, discussing some things, and they just got to talk about different things, and he was, that same preacher that just preached that the night before, was talking about how thanking the Lord that he had been saved from all those things and thanking the Lord how the change he'd made in his life. But he said, you know, I really struggled with that thing for about 6 months till I finally got victory over it. Talk about alcohol. He was a drunkard, you know, and he battled that alcohol thing, and the Lord saved him and changed his life, you know, and so thank the Lord for that. But he goes on to say that, you know, he still battled with it for about 6 months till he finally got victory over it. See, if we're not careful, I don't think anybody means to do that, I think the motive is right. I don't think anybody means to do that. But listen, if we're not careful, we can be a little deceptive sometimes in our testifying, in our preaching, and it gets in people's head, gets in our mind that, man, I've messed up, and so that's it. I'm done. So, or I've messed up, so I'm not saved. Or I've messed up. But listen, can I remind you that every New Testament epistle is written to save people who are saved, but they need to be sanctified. They're still doing things wrong. And the letter's being written to correct those things, to help them get them right, that this is what you're doing. You're saved. You're going to heaven, but you need to get this right. And the devil will get on your shoulder sometimes and make you think, well, I've messed up, and so I can never be right again, and I can never be used again, and God can never work in my life. But that is wrong. That is a lie. We have a man right here in the hall of faith, a record that will never go away for eternity. And God called him a man of faith. He's one of the patriarchs of Israel. We always talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen. He's one of the patriarchs of God's people. But you study his life, he was far from a perfect man, amen. And yeah, I'll tell you, you study my life, you'll find far from a perfect man. If we was to study your life, we'd find far from a perfect person. If we were to put my sins up on a screen in front of the church this morning, I tell you, all I could do is hang my head, amen, and walk out, amen. That's all I could do. That's all any of us can do. But thank God, he is a God of mercy, and he calls to come back to him, calls to get right, and he will receive you. Amen. God will use you. Proverbs says, he that covereth sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Amen. God is willing to give mercy. God wants to use you, and God will use you. Amen. And so Jacob hears, is a man who's a very flawed man, yet of gracious and merciful God is willing to still use him. Amen. And thank God he uses all of us in that way. Now I want to look at his faith this morning, this Hall of Faith text. This verse here, verse number 21, gives a very brief but very potent description of his faith. It's a very simple verse, very straightforward. It doesn't take, you don't have to have a doctorate degree to understand it. Amen. You can understand what he's saying here. It's very simple, straightforward. But you know, as we look at Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11, would to God that we would have the same faith that he had. That's the only way to really be successful in eternal things. Let me give you three things right out of this verse very quickly. We'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, he said, by faith Jacob, when he was dying. First thing I want to mention this morning, I want to talk about the warranty of Jacob's faith. The warranty of his faith. The statement is this, by faith Jacob, and that's what we're preaching on, by faith Jacob. By faith Jacob, when he was dying. Isn't it amazing sometimes how you can buy something, you can purchase something, often a very expensive item, and it comes with a warranty. It never fails. The warranty always goes out at the worst time. Isn't that right? I mean, you think about, you buy a new vehicle and they've got that powertrain warranty, or they've got that bumper-to-bumper warranty or whatever, and it never fails. The warranty goes out, and the next week, the thing starts falling apart. Isn't that right? I mean, they always go out at the worst time. And listen, even with a great warranty, even with the best warranty, any warranty, you know, put on something by humanity is going to fail every time. Isn't that right? But, you know, faith's warranty is seen here in the fact that it was still working when Jacob was dying. The Bible says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying. You know, so many things in life will not help you in death. They will not help you when you're dying. There's people out there that's got everything the world has to offer. They've got everything you could possibly have, everything you could possibly want. If you remember Wednesday night, we was preaching. Psalm 73. You know, on that text, that psalmist there, moaning and groaning about how well the wicked are doing, and how we're struggling as the righteous. You know, and how, man, it just seems like they've even got more than any heart could ever desire, and yet here I am trying to serve God, trying to do right, and trying to please the Lord, and I'm struggling along, and I'm barely making ends meet, you know, and just moaning and groaning and complaining, you know, until, you know, just about how hard his life is. But then he says, you know, it was until I went into the sanctuary. Isn't that right? Then I got understand. Then I began to understand that God's way was really still the best way. Amen. And listen, as far as we're concerned, listen, when we're right with God, that's the way we think too. Amen. The world can have it all, and they can have all the world has to offer. But listen, what we know is that all that money will not buy them one more heartbeat. It will not buy them one more moment in this life. It will not buy them one more breath. Amen. It won't buy them 1 ounce of more comfort when they're dying. But listen, you and I know that the faith in God, faith in the Word of God, it'll still work when we're dying. Amen. And when death comes calling, when death comes knocking, our faith will still be working. Amen. That's the way we see it in Jacob's life. Here he is, an old man. He's at the end end of his days. He's coming down to the end of his life, and yet the warranty is still good on his faith. Amen. He's still serving God. He's still holding on to the faith. It's still working when he is dying. Amen. See, when death comes knocking, the warranty of everything in this world expires. Isn't that right? I mean, you can't purchase any more time. Isn't that right? I mean, you can't purchase more comfort when you're dying. You can't purchase any, you know, you can't, listen, and by the way, let me say this, that's when you're dying, or maybe when your loved one's dying too. Amen? Amen? Listen, nobody here's died yet, I hope. If you're here this morning, I'm glad you haven't died yet. Amen. But all of us know somebody who, a loved one or someone close to us that we've buried at some point in our life. Amen. And listen, if you had faith, and if they had faith, and we were walking with God, and they were walking with God, listen, if we had our faith, listen, it took that death and took such a tragedy and took such a hard thing to ever get through. Listen, and the grace was there, and the warranty didn't expire. And if you'll be honest, you'll have to realize and say, thank the Lord that it was my faith that got me through. Amen. Listen, faith is what does that, and the world does not have that. I tell you, the psalmist was moaning and groaning and complaining about how well the wicked have got it and how hard it is for the righteous, but I tell you, we've got something that they don't. We've got a faith with a warranty that'll help us make the crossing. I mean, it'll be good from here to then, and even when we get there, when we get to death's door, listen, it'll see us all the way through. Amen. The warranty will not expire on our faith. Amen. Amen. I tell you, the warranty of the things of this world expires with death, but the warranty of faith is forever. Its warranty still holds up. Amen. Whether you're burying a loved one or whether you're about to be buried yourself, the warranty will still be good. In fact, it's amazing that faith will actually take something like death and take it from a horrible, horrible experience. And for God's people, will actually make it a victorious experience. Isn't that right? I mean, he said, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Amen. You know, I was thinking this morning, as I was kind of reviewing this and kind of praying, getting ready to preach this. I've preached this message at the jail a few weeks ago. But the Lord had it on my heart this morning. And as I was thinking about it, praying, refreshing myself, I got to thinking about that warranty and thinking about how it takes death, takes such an awful thing in the eyes of the flesh. I mean, in the eyes of the world, it's losing a loved one, right? Losing. It is loss. It is all loss. Never see them again. This is permanent. This is eternal. This is forever. I remember not long ago, I was at a funeral home of a young boy that had died. He'd passed away and died. And I remember standing there with his daddy, and his daddy made this statement. He said, what's permanent is permanent. That's what he said. Listen, those of us that have faith, it's not permanent. Amen. It's temporary. And I was thinking about this warranty, and I was thinking about all those things. Listen, the world views it as permanent. It is loss, permanent loss. Never see them again. Never be with them again. It's over forever. But I was thinking about this faith, and I was thinking about for God's people and those that have the faith and those who are trusting God and serving God, all it is for God's people is just simply one more battle to which we get the victory. Amen? Listen, life is a life of battles. The Christian life is a life of battles. But thank God, through Him, we are more than conquerors. And to every battle, we can have the victory. Amen? And death is no different for God's people. Listen, for the lost man, death is ending in defeat. It is over. It is lost. It is an eternity of damnation. But for God's people, with those of us that have the faith, the warranty is still good. And it's just simply one more battle of the Christian life to which we will win, to which we have the victory, to which we make the crossing victorious. And He sees us through all the way. Amen? Not many are interested in faith in God right now, but listen to me. When they come to die, when they come to die, nothing else that they have will be of any help. Nothing else that they have will be of any help. I tell you, there are stories, and I mean, you've heard them, and I could tell them of, you know, some of the richest people that have ever lived, and then they come to die. They're willing. I mean, they're more than willing to give up everything they've got if they could just live a little longer. I mean, you think about the celebrities and the rich people, those who have had fame and had everything the world has to offer. And they're no different from us. I mean, they get some disease, they get cancer, they get all the things that the human body gets because of sin. And all that fame and all that fortune, all that popularity, that big 401k, all those things. Listen, it doesn't do them any good. Think about that rich farmer that the Lord told that parable about. He was you know, so prosperous. The Lord blessed the work of his hands. And he said to himself, "Self, I've got more than I need for many years." I mean, he'd built up his retirement plan. He was ready to kick back and relax and take a life of ease. Going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And do all of these things, making his own plans. And God said, "Thou fool, tonight, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee." And what did all those goods and what did all that retirement plan mean for him then? It didn't mean anything. The warranty expired on it all that night. I tell you, friend, faith shines in death. Amen. I tell you, the devil, just like that psalmist, will get on our shoulders sometimes and make it out like we've got it so hard, we've got it so bad. But I tell you, when we remember that we've got something that a warranty with which got something that the warranty never expires on, amen. The warranty is good on, he'll see us all the way through. Amen. Faith shines at death. The songwriter said, "Someday, when I've traveled my last mile here, the call will be coming for me." He said, "I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea." He said, "My bark shall sail safely though waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing the river so wide. I'm ready to go to that golden shore, to live there while ages shall roll. I want to see Jesus and saints of yore in heaven, the home of the soul." He said, "He'll hold my hand as over death's river I go. Then safe I shall be in beautiful heaven." I know. Thank God, faith has a warranty. And so, we see the warranty of his faith. Number two, notice this. We see the worth of his faith. Back in our verse, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, but also by faith, Jacob, he blessed both the sons of Joseph." By faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. You know what faith enables you to do? I'm talking about faith in God, faith in the right thing. Now, and I'm sure we all understand that. We're talking about faith in the right thing. There's a departure from the faith today, but not a departure from faith. And everybody has faith, but it may not be in the right thing. Amen. We're talking about faith in the God of heaven. Amen. And so the worth of this faith, the Bible says Jacob, because of his faith, was able to bless both the sons of Joseph. You know what faith enables you to do? It enables you to be a blessing to others. It enables you to really be a blessing to others. Jacob was able to bless two of his grandsons because of his faith. You know, the one great essential for being a blessing to someone else is simply faith. That is the essential. And a lot of people, they get in their head, you know, because they don't have a fortune, they can't bless others. Because, you know, they can't do this or that. I can't do the things that other people can do. Then I can't be a blessing. We all are able to do things that when we're young that we're not able to do when we're old. And some people get in their head, "Well, I can't do what I used to do. Therefore, I can't be a blessing. I can't serve God like I used to. I can't do what I used to do. And so I can't bless. And I don't have enough money to give and help others and pay their bills and all that. And so I can't be a blessing." You know, that's religion's mentality. Religion is all about feeding the hungry and clothing the poverty and getting there, you know, and all those things. But listen, God's not interested in that. I mean, He loves people. We understand that. And those are good things to do. But listen, you're never going to cure world hunger. And you're never going to cure poverty. Jesus said you have the poor always with you. Amen.
And listen, I'm not against feeding people and helping people, being a blessing to people in those ways. But listen, the true way to ever be a blessing is to give somebody your faith. Isn't that what Peter said to that lame man laid up by the temple gate? That lame man was asking for alms. And Peter said, Peter, silver and gold have I none. I got nothing to give you, brother. I got nothing for you. He said, but such as I have, give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And immediately his ankle bones gained strength, and he stood up and rolled up his bed, stuck it on his shoulder, and went forth leaping and praising the Lord. He went forth serving God. I tell you, it was the faith that really blessed that man. Amen. You know what today's religion would have done? Would have given him a few nickels and left him laying there. That's what modern religion and they'd have took a selfie while they were doing it too. Help somebody to serve in the Lord today just so everybody knows, you know. Make sure everybody knows I'm serving God, you know. Give them a few dollars and then leave them, go on your merry way. And think in your heart you've done something good to bless somebody. But I tell you what will really bless somebody more than anything else in the whole world is to pass off your faith. Faith is an essential in blessing others. Amen. Don't ever get in your head that you've got to have something beyond faith to be a blessing to somebody else. Faith is the best thing you could ever have to bless somebody else. Amen? That's the one great essential. Amen? If you've got faith, no greater blessing can be given. Nothing will bless others as much as your faith. See, Jacob blessed his family more with his faith than he ever would have with his fortune and his fame. Right? I mean, imagine if Jacob had not been a man of faith, but instead he'd have been a man of fortune and been a man of fame. It was say he chose that path instead of the path of faith. Say he chose the path of fortune, building a big business and starting a big business, having all these things of this world to pass off to his grandchildren. And they'd have been blessed with all these billions of dollars and all the things that granddaddy passed off to me, all these things I inherited from my granddaddy, and yet they died and went to hell. Instead, he was a man of faith. And what he was able to pass on was his faith, and of course, you know, they're God's people. God's chosen people. I tell you, that's the greatest thing you could ever pass off. Isn't that right? And he blessed them more with his faith than anything else. See, faith is the greatest blessing that any man can give to anybody, especially his home. Amen? Here he is blessing his grandchildren, and he's blessed his son, Joseph, and his grandchildren with his faith and passing that on. Amen? You know, I was thinking, and I've said it before many times, I was thinking, you know, Noah's down there playing the harmonica and can't play it a lick. You know, got to pull his sucker out of his mouth to play it and blow in it, and Judah's over here picking on that guitar or that ukulele that we call a guitar and can't play it a lick, and Gideon's singing at the top of his lungs, you know, and they're taking up the offering and all those things. Listen, I hope to God that one of these days it gets real to them, that it's not just kids in church just wanting to be a part of what's going on, but I hope that it really gets down in their soul and gets down in their heart. Amen. I don't want them to ever see dad just doing church, just doing the work, just going through the motions. I tell you, I want them to see it real in my life. I want to see me pray and call on God and see God answers prayers for me. I want them to see that the Word of God is real, that faith is real, that it's real with Dad. And if it's real with Dad, it'll be real with me. And if it's God's been faithful to him, he'll be faithful to me. And I tell you, I don't care if they're digging a ditch somewhere, as long as they're serving God and behind God's man and in a local church and doing God's will, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen in their life. Amen. Amen. Me and Hannah were talking last week. She's going to die when she hears me tell you this. But that's okay. It's a worthy sacrifice, okay? It's worth the sacrifice. We're talking about our budget, you know, and boy, we budget or try to budget our money, you know, and try to be good stewards and budget our money right, you know, and take care of our money and, you know, save and, you know, I mean, do, you know, try to make it stretch as far as you can these days, amen. And I guess since we've been married, we've always kind of done it together, but I've primarily taken care of the budget and kept it going and to make sure everything's where it needs to be and all. But here lately, just with everything going on, working on this house and all, I've kind of just put over some of that on Hannah. And I was laughing in the night. Because when she's the one taking care of the budget, she gets tight, buddy. And if she don't know where the money's going, she'll just spend it and it don't matter. But if she sees where it's going and seeing how it's all adding up, buddy, she squeaks when she walks, man, I'm telling you. And we were eating supper, you know, and I had grilled some stuff. And, you got the coals going already. So you think, well, man, we ought to just put something on it. Otherwise, they're just going to burn out, you know. And I was asking, hey, you got anything else we can put on here, you know, before these coals go out? I mean, may as well, you know. She said we had some bratwurst she'd picked up for me. I'd been wanting some of that. She said, well, you can put those on there. I said, well, no, I won't. But then a few minutes later, I said, well, yeah, I guess I will go ahead and put on there. And she said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, if you want to wait, hold off. He said, as much as we spent on groceries already, I'm all for holding off and waiting till later on stuff, you know, and making it last. Well, I didn't put them on the grill, I'll just tell you that. We went ahead and ate. As we were getting done eating, we were talking about putting the boys to bed. They hadn't had a nap, and so they were acting like kids that didn't have a nap that day. Anybody know what that's like? Amen. Talking about putting them down, you know. We're talking about putting them down a little bit early for bedtime. And then Hannah said, yeah, maybe we could, you know, then we could eat some ice cream. Because that's what parents do, right? You put the kids in bed, then you eat ice cream. I mean, don't act like you're so sanctified, because you know you've hid in a bathroom somewhere, eaten a chocolate bar, or you've got hid up in some closet or shut the door and locked it in some bedroom, eating your Reese cup or something. And the kids are outside like little monsters, or fingers are coming under the door. Like, we know you're in there. We know you're in there. Isn't that right? Don't act so sanctified with me. I know. Hey, man, I'm living it, man. Put them to bed and eat some ice cream. Next thing I know, we're sitting there, we're finishing up eating. Haven't put the kids to bed yet. I mean, I'm not even done eating completely yet. And here comes Hannah sitting down. And she's not got ice cream. She's got a little jar of Nutella and some graham crackers that she's about to eat. And I said, I thought we were eating ice cream. And she said, well, I kind of bailed on that. I said, why? I was wanting ice cream, you know. She said, well, for one, it's really, really fattening. And then she said, but also, it's kind of expensive. And I just died laughing, you know. Because any other time, we're just eating ice cream, you know. I mean, we're just eating it, you know, whatever. But now, you know, she's thinking of the budget, so it's expensive. Right? Where was I going with this? Where was I going with that? I have no idea. How do we even get here? I really am trying to get it, and I don't even remember where I was going with that. I had a great point I was going to make with that, and I don't even remember what it was. Let's get back to the faith. Oh, I know, I remember. I know. It's come back to me now. She's so tight, you know. And I started laughing when she said that. I said, man, I said, you are so tight when you're the one doing the budget. Any other time, you know. And so I was laughing. We were both laughing about it, you know. And she just shook her head and she laughed. She said, we're just so poor. She said, we're so poor. You know, that's the way it feels in 2023, don't it? You know. The point I was going to make with that was this. And by the way, I don't believe we're poor. I mean, we all live like kings. Isn't that right? But even if we were, even if we lived in poverty, I mean, even if we didn't have anything, and all of us, even the poorest among us, we live like kings compared to most of the world, right? I mean, I've told stories, and you heard stories about, you know, these missionaries and people that we even know going over to Papua New Guinea and places like that, people living in mud huts. And they're just as happy to serve God, just as happy to, you know, be doing for God, you know. And so we don't live in poverty, but if we did, that would be okay with me. As long as my boys were able to inherit my faith. If I didn't have anything else to pass on to them. And by the way, it's right. It's good to have something to pass on to your children. Book of Proverbs talks about that. It's good. It's right to do that. If you can. But listen, if I never have anything to pass on to them, if I never have any money, if I never have any inheritance, if I never have anything like that to pass on to them, I want to, but if I don't, that's okay, as long as they inherit the faith. Because the faith is the greatest thing they could ever have. Amen. Went a long way around to tell you that. I want them to inherit my faith. Amen. That was the way he was able to bless his children. That's the greatest thing a father could ever leave behind to his children. A grandparent could never leave behind to their grandchildren. Listen, don't give the things you never had to your kids. That's the mentality a lot of times, isn't right? And a lot of times, we'll be honest, that's a cop-out. People make the statement, well, I just want to give my kids the things that I never had growing up. Rather than giving them the things that you never had, how about giving them the best thing that ever could be given? Instead of passing off the things you never had as a kid, why not pass off the greatest thing that could ever be had to your children? And that's faith. The worth of his faith. Last of all, very quickly, let me tell you about the worship of his faith. So by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, by faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. But then it says, by faith, Jacob worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. You know, faith worships. It always worships. In fact, if you show me your worship, I'll show you your faith. Or lack thereof. Amen? You look at someone's worship and you'll see a picture of their faith. Now, many talk boastfully of their faith. They'll talk about how much they love God. They'll talk about, boy, you know, God's number one in their life and the man upstairs this and the good Lord that and all these things. They'll talk real religious, just like that lady by the well in Samaria. You know, they'll boast about their faith. But when it doesn't worship, it's all simply that. Just talk. It's just talk. Now, if you'll note from our verse here, true faith will worship in spite of difficulties too. Now, here's Jacob. He's infirm. He's a cripple. He's leaning on his staff, the Bible says. He can't even stand without having a staff, without having something to lean on, yet he still worshiped. He still worshiped. You know, people give a lot of excuses why they don't worship, but the main reason is their lack of faith. You realize that worshiping God, is just like anything else in the Christian life. It has nothing to do with how we feel. Listen, I know our feelings are involved, our emotions are involved, our physical bodies are involved. I understand that, and God knows that. He does know that. It was God who made it a point to point out that he's leaning on his staff while he's doing it. God put that there, not me. He made it a point to say that. But you know, faith in its simplest form is this, believing God. God said it, I believe it. That's faith. And so faith is believing God, not feeling God, not sensing God. We make faith so weird and mysterious and magical a lot of times. Our flesh wants to do that. It's all about experience. And that's why you can pack a church house now giving people an experience, because they can really feel and experience something and go away talking about it. Right? Listen, thank God there are feelings involved. Thank God we can feel God sometimes. Thank God He does. That wind of that Holy Ghost does blow through my soul sometimes. And I can sense the presence of God. And I can feel the move of God. But listen to me. Whenever I don't feel God and I don't feel like serving God, when I don't feel like worshiping, it's still right to worship. Listen, when I don't feel like saying amen, it's still right to say amen when the truth is preached. When I don't feel like lifting my voice and singing hymns and singing praise unto God, it's still right to do it anyways. Amen? Whenever I don't feel like serving God, when I don't feel like preaching, when I don't feel like doing what God's called me to do, and when you don't feel like God's doing what God's called you to do, it's still right to do it. On the flip side of that, whenever you feel like going a different way, but it's not the right way, it's still right not to go. Amen? It's right to worship God when you don't feel like it. And by the way, a lot of times when you go ahead and worship anyways, the feelings will come. Amen? It's right to do God's will even when you don't feel like it. And it's right to do God's will even when you feel like doing something else. Amen. See, he worshiped even though he no doubt didn't feel like. I mean, you know Jacob here in his flesh felt like being laid up in a bed somewhere. I mean, he's old, he's crippled up, he's got to lean on his staff. But the worship that he's given to God has nothing to do with him. And worship has nothing to do with us. I'll tell you what it has to do with. It has everything to do with God's worth. It has nothing to do with how we feel. It has to do with what he is worth. And that's exactly what we find in Jacob. Jacob saw God worthy to be praised and worthy to be worshipped regardless of where he was in his life. Now, why did Jacob worship? Even as a cripple, even as an old man who's infirm here, I'll tell you why, because he knew God was worthy. Regardless of where he is in his life, God's still God, and God's still worthy to be praised and worthy to be worshipped. And I tell you, we're missing that in our generation. We're missing that. And there's a generation that's gone by that's quickly passing off the scene that would serve God and stay faithful even when they didn't feel like it, even whenever it wasn't in the cards for them, so to speak. But we're in a generation now that only does what they feel like doing. I mean, there's a generation that came and sat through church that were services a lot longer than the services that we have. Amen? On wood pews or wood benches, right? With no air conditioning. With nothing but the windows up and a fan to fan themselves and bugs flying everywhere or freezing in the wintertime and everybody tried to get there early so they get a seat closest to the stove, you know, trying to stay warm. And that's the generation that went before us, and they served God, and they saw God move, and they saw God work, and they trusted God, and they knew His worth. But we're in a generation now that won't come and won't be faithful if they don't feel like it when you got padded church pews, and you got air conditioning, and you got everything the way they want it, and you offer them everything, and they still, if they don't feel like it, they're not going to do God any favors. See, we're missing that in this generation. Amen? But see, true faith, it'll worship. You know, thinking about this statement here, we see the warranty of his faith. We see the worship of his, or the worth of his faith. We see the worship of his faith. And this is all by faith, Jacob. You know, I got to thinking, you know, my name is Jacob. And I was thinking, you know, would to God when I'm dead and gone. I mean, that's where Jacob is here in this text. He's dead and gone, right? And it is almost as if that statement, by faith, Jacob, ... In other words, you just fill in the blank because everything he did it by faith. That was the epitaph of his life. And it is almost as if this is Jacob's headstone in this verse. Jacob's dead and gone, and what we have to remember him, what's on his the epitaph of his life is, by faith, Jacob. And I got to thinking, you know, my name's Jacob, and I would to God that it could truthfully be said of me when I'm dead and gone, by faith, Jacob. In other words, I live my life in such a way that it could be said when I'm gone that everything he was by faith. That was a man of faith. You know, isn't it amazing the shallow, even silly things that are said about people after they pass away? I mean, you get around to a funeral or something like that, somebody's passed away, and you know, people will talk about things, and I'm not against it all. I don't want you to think I'm swatting you over the head or anything. I'm not mad at anybody when I say this, but I mean, just really think about it. You know, somebody will die, you know, and they go to the funeral, and people's telling stories and things about this person, and boy, yeah, boy, he really loved to fish. Boy, he was a fisher. Oh, boy, he really loved to hunt, or he really loved this, really loved that. When you think about it, it's really such a sad thing that nobody has anything else to say other than just shallow, simple things about people's lives. There's a lot of things I love in this life, and maybe if anyone shows up to my funeral when I'm gone, maybe those things will be mentioned. But above everything else that could be said about me, would to God that the thing that would come to people's mind when they thought of me in my life would be by faith, Jacob. In other words, he was a man of faith. Would to God that would be what people would say about you. Would to God that whenever you're the epitaph of your life, the title of your life, we'd all live in such a way that it could be said of us that by faith, each of us. I wonder this morning, where's your faith? How is your faith? Are you really living by faith? If you were to die today, if this was your day, and it could be today, I wonder what will be said about you whenever you're gone. Will people just stand around and talk about how much he loved NASCAR, or how much he loved to hunt, or how much he loved to fish, or boy, he really loved doing that, or she really loved, she was, doing this, or that. I mean, just like shallow things of this world. Or will people stand around and say, boy, that was a man of faith? Will they say the things about us that they said about Sammy Allen whenever he died, or whenever that he said about Stinnett Blue whenever he died? Talk about, boy, the loss. Boy, that was a man of God. We're really going to miss his prayers. That's what people were saying about them when they died. We're going to miss their prayers. Well, we're going to miss their preaching. Well, we're going to miss their story. We're going to miss what God did through them. We're going to miss that in our generation. We're going to miss it, and we do miss it. But I wonder, would that be said about us? Would it leave a spiritual void in your family, a spiritual void in your church? Or will it all just be temporal things? By faith, Jacob. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it this morning. Lord, I pray that you would take it and use it. Lord, help us all, Lord, to be very serious about our faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live in such a way, Lord, that our faith would be noted in our life. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to realize, Lord, the warranty of our faith, the worth of our faith, Lord, the worship of our faith. Help us, God, just to be what you want us to be. And Lord, I pray for your people, Lord, that as you've spoke to our hearts, we'd respond to you in the way you'd have us to respond. Lord, I pray that you'd help us do what you'd have us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.